You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Ted and Wendy Campo from Aliyah Ministries International. We wish you Shabbat Shalom this afternoon. We are very grateful for the opportunity to be filling in for Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy, who are in a healing mode right now and experiencing complete recovery from
the attack of the enemy.
We praise God for that. We're grateful for them. We're grateful for their ministry. We're grateful for this opportunity to be here sharing with you today.
Yes, this is a privilege.
Completing this study. Baby?
All right. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Sabbath rest. And this radio program is called Raising the Standard. You can hear us on every Saturday. Or actually, it might be Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna very shortly returning. You can hear the radio program every Saturday on WCNO Radio, 89.9 FM, from 12 noon to 1 p.m. You can also contact Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries at 772-285-7007. Spirit of Prophecy Ministries meets every Saturday for Shabbat from 2 to 4 p.m. at Stewart Alliance Church. The address is 445 Southeast Osceola Street in Stewart by Martin Memorial Hospital North. And we have been telling people that if you are away from your radio, that you could just download the app on your cell phone, and you can listen to prior radio messages from us. Unfortunately, you cannot do it from your cell phone. You have to do it right from your PC at home. But you can listen on your cell phone for the Saturday's message just by downloading WCNO, and then you can hear the message for that day. Okay. And now we are going to recap what we were talking about these past 2 weeks. About the wedding of the Messiah, the steps that are involved. And just to let you know why we say the wedding of the Messiah, and I will explain. The Bible is a marriage contract between a covenant, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It describes how God, through the Messiah, the bridegroom, is in the process of marrying his church, the ecclesia, the called out group, in him who will ultimately live and dwell with him forever. Now, God ordained and established marriage and its divine sanctity in the Torah, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, when he brought Adam and Eve together to become one flesh. In doing so, we have a vivid foreshadowing of the Messiah being married to those who believe upon him. Now, there are 12 steps that are involved in the Jewish wedding. We were discussing the symbolism between the earthly bride and bridegroom, of Jewish, of Orthodox Jewish, bride and bridegroom, versus the spiritual, the heavenly marriage of the church here on earth to our bridegroom, Yeshua, in heaven. And there are 12 steps that are involved in this. There is a wedding customs, service, ceremonies that were given to the Jewish people to teach us about the Messiah. So the 12 steps are the selection of the bride, a bride price is established, the bride and bridegroom are betrothed, engaged, the written document is drawn up, the bride must give her consent. Sixth, the gifts were given to the bride. Seven, the bride has a bath, a mikvah. Eight, the bridegroom departs for his father's house. Nine, the bride is set apart for a time. 10, the bridegroom returns with a shout. And 11, the bridegroom comes for his bride. That is where we left off last week with that. And now we're going to finish up with the final event, the final step, 12th step, and that's the marriage supper. And now my husband will take over.
You know, one of the things that's so remarkable about this study that we have been doing for probably the past 2 or 3 months now, I guess, is how truly, truly rich and pregnant the scriptures are regarding this particular subject. And without the knowledge of your Jewish roots as a believer,
you miss everything.
Without the knowledge of what the symbolism and the prophetic significance of certain earthly traditions
and customs,
earthly customs that were prevalent at the time that Yeshua walked this earth, you'd really be missing out on so much.
That's why this
there are some in the church today that have an attitude that what difference does it make? They have an attitude that you know, they love the Lord and that's it, plain and simple. Well, if you love the Lord, you love His Word.
Everything about Him.
And Yeshua is the Word.
Yes.
And when God made His first covenant with His covenant people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He made it with us as well. Do you understand?
Yes, he did.
So this is not a Jewish thing. this is as much a Christian gift
we've grafted in
from mm-hmm. Abba,
mm-hmm.
And we, Wendy and I, are just so privileged to be here and so gifted that God has not only given us Yeshua, but he's given us each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we come in a special a package of
Jew Gentile.
And Gentile. Wendy was
Jewish.
Born into a Jewish household. I was saved 48 years ago by the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
And came out of darkness, came out of tradition, came out of bondage, came out of depression, came out of selfishness and arrogancy. God humbled me, and I started on a voyage. So both of us have been walking with the Lord for some time now. And since Wendy and I have known each other, and have been married, which is about 18 months now. We're still newlyweds. We've been teaching one another.
Yes.
And we have seen how Holy Spirit is using each of us.
Growing us.
To challenge each other so that we can walk deeper in our faith and deeper in our Jewish roots, knowing who we are, that we have been engrafted into the olive tree, and that our Jewish brothers and sisters are our older brothers and sisters. And we're thankful to them that they have been custodians of the original covenant for so many thousands of years.
And may I say, honey?
Sure, babe.
From this study, as my husband said, these past few months, the study of Pastor Gene's book, this commentary, this workbook that he has given to us, it's God's prophetic calendar, it's prophetic pictures of the Messiah. This book is so invaluable. This book has opened up scripture, the whole meaning of what it's like to be born again, to know where I'm going, to know my heritage, things that I did not know. Everything came alive, and he just broke it down so simply that if you get this and you study this, you too will be enlightened, and everything that we are here on earth for comes into such play. It's what we're all going to end up. We know how the story is going to, it's like reading a story, and you walk through it and you can visualize everything. So this is just so beautiful and has meant so much to me. Thank you, Pastor Gene, for your dedication and your love of Yeshua and the Jewish people. Now, honey.
Yes, yes, yes. There's nothing like knowing the last chapter of any book that you read. You read through the entire book. I'm talking about even in a worldly sense, looking forward to the last chapter, because the last chapter is the culmination, and the last chapter has probably always the most meaningful message throughout the whole book. Well, the last chapter in our book is the book of Revelation, and you're going to see today how we're going to be reading from that book. But along the way, as we've looked very closely here in detail at the Jewish wedding a ceremony and the different steps, we see that there's been a building process here. One step upon another, and upon another. That's order. That's God's order. And you know that our God is a God of order. And so we have been able to use the Jewish wedding ceremony to show you God's prophetic symbolism that permeates throughout this wedding ceremony and culminates in today's message. Today's message is an extremely exciting, exciting message. If you don't have a pen and paper right at your fingertips right now, I'm going to encourage you to do that, because we're going to be sharing some scriptures with you that are going to just blow you away. They're just going to be mind-boggling. But the scriptures are right there in the Bible that you and I have been reading for years and years, except we haven't had our prophetic glasses on, if you understand, our prophetic context lessons.
Jewish glasses.
And we don't have a Jewish understanding, and we need to have that Jewish understanding. Otherwise, we miss so very, very much. So we see that the bride and the groom would be in the wedding chamber for 7 days. And when the bride and the groom initially went into the wedding chamber, the friend of the bridegroom, probably his best man, stood outside the door. And all of the assembled guests of the wedding gathered outside, waiting for the friend of the bridegroom to announce, to announce the consummation of the marriage, which was relayed to him by the groom. Now, some of you may say, wow, this is kind of freaky. What happened to the privacy of the couple? Well, this was part of the Jewish tradition. Bride knew that it was going to happen. The bridegroom knew that it was happening. They both agreed to this. There was not an infringement upon their privacy during this very, very, very special time, the consummation of the marriage, a time that they actually came together bodily and through the sexual union. But it was very important to see how this particular part of the marriage was announced by the friend or the of the bridegroom, as I said, probably his best man. Listen to the way John the Baptist refers to it in John chapter 3 and verse 29. And the Bible says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." Now, I just wonder how many of us have read John chapter 3, which is a very, very important chapter and an important message. Because it is during this time that Yeshua is speaking with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is coming to him and questioning him about some of the things that he said and some of the things that he's heard. And he has not only an inquiring mind, he has a hungry heart. He wants to know the truth. How many of us, have read this chapter before and read this particular voice? I, for one, am going to have to say I certainly have, but just kind of glossed over it because I really didn't know its significance, its meaning. But now, when you put it into the context of the Jewish wedding ceremony,
your eyes have been opened,
and you see here that yes, the bride has the bridegroom. Not just spiritually, but physically as well. But then the scripture goes on to say, but the friend of the bridegroom, isn't that what we were just talking about, which standeth and heareth him. In other words, he has been waiting to hear from his friend, who was in the marital chamber, that the marriage has been officially consummated. And then the scripture goes on to say that he rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. He was expecting something to come out of the bridegroom's mouth. He was there waiting, waiting, waiting patiently. And finally it came, and the bridegroom said, yes, amen, it's been done. The marriage has been consummated. And now there's a time of rejoicing. Mm. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled.
Mm.
So you see, there was a signal that confirmed that the couple had consummated their marriage, and great rejoicing broke forth on the wedding day. The bridegroom is seen as a king and the bride as a queen, and during the consummation of the marriage, the bridegroom, who of course is Yeshua, will be crowned king over all the earth. And the bride, who are the believers in Yeshua, mm-hmm. the Messiah, the bride, the church, the ecclesia,
mm-hmm.
will live with him and
that's something to rejoice
rule
over.
With him
yes.
forever.
Yes.
This crowning of the king and the marriage can be seen in Isaiah 62, verses 3 to 7. Let's read that now. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of my God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hitzeblah, and thy land Beulah. For the land delighteth in thee, and the land shall be married.
Mm.
Talking about Israel, mm-hmm. the land of Israel. And then in verse 5, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, beautiful.
What bridegroom does not rejoice over his bride? I mean, this has been the culmination of a period of a courtship, a time of waiting, a time of sacrifice, a time of chastity, a time of, in effect, trusting the Lord, so that thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem,
yes. Yes.
which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest until he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise upon the earth.
Wow.
Oh, how awesome that is.
Wow.
How very, very awesome that is. And at the end of the week, the seventh year of Jacob's trouble, the marriage supper will take place. Now, it's important to note that the marriage supper will not take place in heaven. After the marriage, the wife and the husband will return to the earth. The marriage supper will be taking place on the earth, and only the invited guests, the Jews of the Father, Abba, will be present at the banquet meal. Now, why is it important to understand that the marriage supper will be held here on the earth? Well, we're going to cover that in more detail in a few minutes. But we need to understand that the saints who have been here on earth
mm-hmm.
and who have persisted and who have endured during the time of Jacob's trouble or the tribulation, they are going to be invited, and they're going to be here on the earth, and that's where the marriage feast is going to take place. But let's look into Revelations 19 now and read more about it.
Okay. Revelation 19, verse 7 through 16. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Yes, yes.
And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, it so sounds like us saints. It sounds like the saints. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Baby, read 20 as well.
20, where are we? Okay. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, Yeshua, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
That was Revelations 20 and verse 4. And now we're going to go on, for Yeshua himself spoke of the marriage supper in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately.
Hmm.
Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching.
Yes.
Verily,
yes,
I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them, blessed are those servants. And then in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, Yeshua goes on to say, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Wow.
Ooh.
Isn't that going to be exciting? Woo-wee. Woo-wee. Yes, indeed. Well, note that since that Yeshua's return to the earth, he will establish his kingdom. Therefore, the wedding supper is a major theme of the festival of Sukkot, that is, tabernacles. And during Sukkot, the people were instructed by God to build temporary shelters. One of the things God instructed the people to do was to eat there.
And honey, that was the booths.
Yes.
That was from, they call it the Festival of Weeks, or booths, and tabernacles was also the day that Yeshua was born. He was born on Tishri 15. He was our first fruit.
Yes, indeed. And when they eat, they are to set a plate for seven different people. These are called the seven shepherds. Each day of the 7 days of tabernacles, one of these guests was invited for dinner. Among the seven whom a plate is set for are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is what Yeshua was referring to in Matthew 8:11, which we just read, when he said that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be there with us in heaven.
That's right.
This is so exciting. And the remaining four are Moses, Aaron, Joseph, and David. In addition, we must understand that the unbelievers in the Messiah will attend a separate banquet. Where the fowls of the air will eat their flesh.
Sounds like they're on the outside.
I'm glad I'm not going to be at that banquet. No, no way, no way. And the main reason for the marriage supper being here on earth and not as in heaven is due to the surviving saints who are on earth at the end of the tribulation. They must be included in the supper as well. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? It sure does. So, the home of the bride was Jerusalem, and it was the bridegroom who came to the bride to dwell with her. Consequently, it is from Jerusalem that the saints during the millennium will rule and reign with the Messiah. This can be seen in many places in the Bible. Now, let me tell you something. I have been personally blessed to have been in Israel for 3 times. Wendy has been blessed to have spent time in Israel 2 times during her life.
Mm-hmm.
And there is just something so, so special. It almost defies explanation or imagination. But when your feet touch that land,
feels like your home.
It's there is a spiritual uprising that goes on within you, in your spirit man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
even though it's not your physical home, it feels it's your home.
Yeah,
it is our spiritual home and will be our physical home eventually.
So even when we just have visited Israel for a short time, we get that witness, you know, within us, deep in our spirits, as to Israel being such a very, very special, holy place. And do you know why? It's because of these very scriptures here that we're about to share with you today. That will explain in detail what God's final plan is for Israel. So turn with me, if you would, and back into Revelations again, verse 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Here we are again. The bride is being
adorned
by her husband, Yeshua.
Yes.
And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people.
Mm-hmm.
And God himself shall be with them and be their God. What does that word tabernacle mean there, babe?
Dwell. Dwell. Tabernacle means dwell.
Yeah.
Like the sukkah.
Yeah.
Like as you see that we just spoke about.
Yeah. And so just as Holy Spirit indwells us, God is confirming here that he is our tabernacle, mm-hmm. and that we shall be his people,
mm-hmm.
and he himself shall be with us, and we shall be with him for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no eternity. It's just like forever at that stage of the game. I don't know what you call forever and ever 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 and ever. It's eternity. Amen. Mm. Praise the Lord. And then in Ezekiel 43, God says, and afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh towards the east, and behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And he said unto me, son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom or by the carcasses of the kings in their high places. And then in Zechariah chapter 2 and in verse 10, we read, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee.
The bride and the groom together.
The Lord. Mm. Isn't this awesome?
The bride and the groom. Much simcha, much joy. Simcha means joy in Hebrew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah,
yes, he will,
his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose
Hallelujah.
Jerusalem again.
Israel again. Hallelujah.
Do you see this ongoing theme here, dear saints? Jerusalem, 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 Jerusalem is always upon God's heart. Jerusalem, today, the center of the world,
yes,
the center of
so
the universe, Jerusalem is where we will be spending our first 1,000 years ruling and reigning with Yeshua.
You see why
Messiah.
The enemy wants to destroy Jerusalem, because they know, the enemy knows the significance of Jerusalem.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. And even all of the things that are happening in Israel today, all of Israel's neighbors are trying with all of their might to come against Israel, to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. In Gaza, Hamas is doing all sorts of evil trickery and strategies to try to destroy Israel, not only to crush through the border, but now they have even inflicted great harm upon Israel's crops and agriculture by sending drones and kites with firebombs on them that coming from Gaza into the south of Israel and causing millions of dollars worth of damage to Israel's crops. Israel's crops, which are a part of not only their livelihood, but their ability to feed the world. Up in the north, Hezbollah in Lebanon, where on the southern border of Lebanon, Hezbollah has posed and has waiting to destroy Israel again. 150,000 rockets. 150,000 rockets that can be shot into the northern areas of Israel. That is into Haifa, into Akko, into the area of the Galil. That would cause great harm to Israel. And then just recently, over the past couple of weeks or months, the dictator Assad, very, very evil man, demonically possessed, I believe, who has killed hundreds of thousands of his own people, and his own country has been suffering from a civil war that has been so destructive and so disastrous to human lives, and causing hundreds of thousands of immigrants to leave his country with all of his cares, all of his woes, but with the support of Iran, has now got what I'm going to call chutzpah, the nerve to start firing rockets into Israel through over the Golan Heights area. This past week, there was talk of two rockets landing actually right into the Sea of Galilee. That's right into the heartland of where so many Jewish people are living. And, of course, this is the area where Yeshua ministered. And we've been to that area. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. But to see the destructive forces of both Iran and Syria working together hand in hand again to destroy Israel. Once they destroy Israel, their capital, Jerusalem, will be destroyed as well. They think. That's not
God's
plan.
God will never let it happen.
Correct. Absolutely, positively. Let's go on and read some more of these scriptures, because they all confirm what we're talking about here today. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, the Word of God says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem."
Hallelujah.
"And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more."
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a wonderful time that's going to be.
Thank you, Lord.
A time of shalom, a time of peace, a time with all fear and intimidation to be
can
gone.
Can you imagine?
Oh, only
can
Yeshua
imagine?
Can do this. And then in Micah chapter 4 and in verse 1, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, And it shall be exhausted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it.
It's the same
thing. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and shall rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God. And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And now, in concluding this session on the Jewish wedding, whenever anyone hears the message of the gospel, it is a wedding proposal by God to accept his son, the bridegroom, and be a part of his future wife. So God desires that we accept his invitation and give him our response of I do. In fact, in Revelation 22:20, which I will read, is a proposal by Yeshua himself to accept him and be a part of his bride, the New Jerusalem. And so I read. Revelation 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Awesome. Isn't that awesome?
And in Revelation 21, verse 1 and 2, I read, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And his message in Revelation 22:20 is, come, will you say, I do, to the Messiah's proposal? Consequently, these 12 events of the Jewish wedding reveal prophetically our relationship with the Messiah from the beginning of time to the end. Oh, this is just such an amazing, kind of unbelievable story. But once you understand it and you delve into it, it becomes so real that you take ownership of it, that you can see the daily plan. It's just by getting in the Word and just desiring to have that love affair with Yeshua and Abba Father, the Holy Spirit. Ah, it's such a beautiful relationship, isn't it, honey?
Yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is. And you know what God is calling each of us to do as part of the bride of Christ is to enter into a time of intimacy with him. We look back at the wedding ceremony, the Jewish wedding ceremony here, and we see the bride and the groom coming together in the wedding chamber. And when they went into the wedding chamber, the marriage of two virgins was consummated through the sexual union. God created the sexual union. He created it for man and for woman, for husband and wife, exclusively. This was all part of God's plan. God created the man first. The man was alone. The man was looking for someone to complete him, someone to come alongside of him, someone to be, in effect, his best friend, someone, in effect, to be his helper. The Bible says, uses the terminology, helpmate. And so God created the woman out of the side of the man, and then he said, and the two would become one flesh, they would be naked and unashamed. And so part of the, obviously, the consummation of the marriage is when the married couple comes together, they're both naked and unashamed, and they enter into a time of intimacy, a time of closeness, a time of sharing that is, quite frankly, unlike any other. And it is a gift from God, that time of sharing each other. Sharing each other physically, sharing each other spiritually, in such a way that the two become one. And how do the two become one? Well, the two become one through an intimacy of sharing. The woman is willing to surrender herself and her body to her husband. The husband is willing to share his body by fulfilling his wife and by entering into union with her. Very, very intimate, intimate time for any husband and wife. That's why what is so distressing today is to seeing people using this gift of God for their own personal pleasures without taking on any responsibilities, without taking on any of the purposes for which God created this wonderful, wonderful thing. But, and so too, God wants us to enter into a very, very close, personal relationship with him. So we can go to Abba on a daily basis. He already knows our heart. He already knows what's going on inside of us. But we have a very unique opportunity to say to him, Abba, I'm here today as your son. Abba, I'm here today as your daughter. And I want to hear from you. What is your heart? What is your desire for me? What is your perfect will so that I can walk in obedience and I can walk with a heart that is totally yielded to you? We, as a married couple, come together on a daily basis, and we pray, and we share our hearts with each other. And part of that sharing our hearts with each other is sharing who we are who we are. And there are times when we're sharing who we are, and it becomes not anything remote. It becomes a time of great intimacy and a time of great sharing. Well, we have really been a privilege to share this time with you over the past several weeks, and to go through the Jewish wedding ceremony, etc., and culminating today in the marriage supper. We hope that you were blessed by it. We hope that we have been a blessing and been able to share with you some things that perhaps you haven't heard before, but also have given you an opportunity to stretch a little bit and to learn more about what is going on by way of these prophetic pictures of the Messiah. So we're going to give you an opportunity today, if you have been blessed and if you have would like to see this program continue here on WCNO Radio on a weekly basis, to give to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And if you would, send your check to P.O. Box 413, P.O. Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995. And we know that your gift will be used for God's purposes to spread His kingdom throughout the Treasure Coast area here and the surrounding areas. We know that these radio programs have been a blessing to many, many people. By you planting seed in this ministry, it will continue to do so, and it will continue to bless the body of Christ here on the Treasure Coast area. So once again, please send your check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, P.O. Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995. This is Pastor Ted and Wendy Campo signing off, saying Shabbat Shalom.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.